Are you all well this morning? It's great to be here, isn't it? It's great to be in God's house and to worship and praise Him. We've had some wonderful worship here this morning. And just as a little note, Pastor Noel spoke about the widow's mite and what she gave. And if you want to see one of those, our sister Barbara wears one around her neck from her trip to Israel. And she showed it on Thursday. We had the joy of welcoming Heather back. She went on a journey to over to Israel, and she took us through a journey and slides and things and talk about her trip there, which was really exciting and lovely to share with her. And Barbara showed us a little mite that she's got on a little chain around her neck. And so that was exciting, and it was a really great time that we had. Do you know, our days change. Every day is different, isn't it? We never know what to expect. And things can happen that can be really good, and things can happen that can really bring us a surprise. Not that they're great issues, but, you know, we started off the week looking forward to all God has, and we woke up one morning to a burst water pipe, which was quite involved because the person that built our house did it really well, and he put all our pipes in behind the bricks. And so John had to get, we got our grandson down, and they had to knock out all the bricks to get. And so it became a big involved issue. So we're sitting there, we had no water. And then I went out to get in the car to come up here to minister, and the battery was gone dead. Just like that, just suddenly. You know, unexpected things happen, good and bad, in every day, don't they? And so then we got that organised, and then our grandson, not sure whether it was when he was at the station, but he brought the car home, and then he went up the street to get some shopping, came out to his car, and his number plates were gone. Someone had taken them. But I just praise God that those things don't define us. And even with Brett, when he came home, he just laughed. Like, he knows it's serious. He's got to get in touch. He can get new number plates in. Contacted the police, but he didn't get in a frazzle about it. And often little things can cause us to get into a great mess. When we think about it in perspective, as John and I said with the water, there are people all over Australia fighting bushfires. There's a drought, not enough water, and there's fires breaking out everywhere, and people are not only losing their homes, they've been lives lost. And so we have to put things into perspective, don't we? But life can change very quickly. And as I was thinking about all those things, the Lord reminds me often of the scripture that God gave me when I was saved out of Isaiah 43. And it's, "Fear not, for I've created you, I've formed you, I've called you by name." But in verse 2, it says, when God spoke the words in Isaiah 43:2, he did not say if, he said when. God said we would encounter waters and rivers and fire in our lives, but he also said that they would not stay. With the Lord, we'll pass through them. So we ask today, as each day, that he will help us face these challenges and circumstances. And when the Lord gave me that scripture, to me it was just he knew my name, he knew who I was, which is very powerful. But as I grew in God and read the rest of those scriptures, I started to understand some of the things he was saying to me. And certainly there have been many fires and rivers, many challenges and heartaches, but there's been above that great joy. And the greatest joy is in knowing him and knowing that he's overcome those things, and in him I can overcome them too. There was a man called Horatio Spafford in 1828. He was a wealthy lawyer, a successful businessman, and he had a very successful legal practice. He had a beautiful home, he had a wife, four daughters and a son. What could be better? He was also a devout and a solid Christian and a faithful student of Scripture. His circle of friends included Dwight L. Moody and various other well-known Christians. So he had it all. At the very height of his financial and professional success, Horatio and his wife Anna suffered the tragic loss of their son. he got sick and very quickly he died. And shortly after that, about 6 to 8 months, the Great Chicago Fire came through and destroyed every real estate investment that Stapford owned. So one moment he had everything, and the next moment he felt he'd lost so much. And that can happen. And so there was a conference coming up in Europe for him to attend, and so he arranged for his wife and daughters to get on a boat and go to England so that they could recover from this tragedy. To go to Europe. But he had to go to England to this conference. So he sent his wife and his daughters off ahead of him, and he remained in Chicago to take care of different things and to sort things out. Several days later, he received a message to say the boat had collided with something and his four daughters were killed. His wife was alive, but she was sick. So very quickly, with a heavy heart, he arranged himself another passage to go and join his wife Anna in her grief. And while he was on that boat, he started to search through Scripture. And it says that he read 2 Kings 4 about the Shunammite woman. And if you know the story of the Shunammite woman, I won't go into it all, but her son died. The prophet came and prophesied that she would have a son, and she had a son who she loved and spent so much time with, but he died. And so all she thought is, she put him in an upper room and I have to get to the prophet, I have to get to Elisha, because I know that God can restore my son. And as she was going down calling the servants to make a chariot ready for her, her husband came and he said, Why are you doing this? Why do you need to go and see him now? What's going on? And she said, all is well. She didn't tell her husband, and that's another story, that her son was dead, because if she did, he would have immediately taken it and started to make funeral arrangements. But she said, all is well. And this really touched Horatio's heart. And so on this journey, as he went to visit find his wife, he penned the beautiful song, the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." It is well. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And I love the new version now. We have a chorus that comes out of that hymn and it says, through it all, my eyes are on you, it is well with me. And it's the most beautiful chorus and it really grabs my heart and my spirit, and I speak it and sing it often. Horatio finally met up with his wife and they prayed and trusted in God, and later on Hannah gave birth to 3 children, a son Horatio, a daughter Bertha and a daughter Grace. And Horatio became a successful businessman again and lived a good life. Now, does that remind you of somebody? What about Job? Reminds us of Job in the Bible. And so we know that God is the same yesterday, today and forever. And what God works in one life, he can work in another. Do you believe that? And so it's important that we put things into perspective. And that man went through a lot of things. But you see, he was grieving. And that is natural and normal to do. And I'm sure he cried bucket loads and he ached and he would have cried out to God. But he didn't cry up to God with his clenched fist. He cried out to God with an open hand of praise and an attitude of accepting, Lord God, you will take me through this fire. You will take me through these waters and you will raise me up. All he wanted to do was get to his wife. And you know, that hymn has brought so much comfort to so many people over the centuries. In John 1:1-4, John writes to his dear friend, "Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified the truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. And so we need to walk in the truth of the word and not in our emotions. Our emotions will always lead us astray. Our emotions will drown us and bury us. But we need to have faith not in our emotions, but in the character and the integrity of God, because he never fails. So my question to you today is it well with your soul? You know, God is not so interested in your education, your scores at school, the great job you've got, the clothes to wear, the money you've got in your bank. He's interested in your heart. He's interested in your spirit. Is your spirit connecting with his? And you see, we can't wait till tragedy comes and then, yes, that happens sometimes. Tragedy comes and people then fall on God. But as believers, God wants us to be in the right place so that when things come, and they will, as we've read in the scripture, that we're able to face those challenges with God and raise up and not only face them but come out better. God is interested in renewing us. He's interested in, by his Spirit, making us like Christ. He's interested in, Pastor Chris a couple of weeks ago spoke a beautiful message about the depth of going as our theme is, going deeper. And so no matter how deep you go, Jesus is deeper. And the other thing is that, as I said, as a young girl, when I stood and God revealed himself to me and I came into salvation, God already knew what had happened to me before, but he already knew where I'd be today. And that's what we forget sometimes. Things that happen to us are not a surprise to God, and it's important we understand that. To really be able to grasp the power of God is to know that whatever happens to you, whether it's good, whether it's sad, whether it's tragic, whether it's joyful, God knows all about it. And he's ready to lead you through that situation. 1 Peter 5:10 says, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast." So that's what it's about. It's about becoming strong, firm and steadfast. All Christians suffer in various ways. We cannot expect salvation to eliminate that. Sadly, some people come to Christ and think, oh, this means that I'm going to have this wonderful, happy life. No, it will be wonderful, and it will be joyful, but there will be challenges. Because if we don't face challenges, we never grow. And we can become very self-centred and isolated. Jesus himself suffered. And as we heard in communion, he calls us to take our cross and follow him. Eternal salvation means that suffering will one day come to an end and be gone forever. But to know God's peace and strength in the face of adversity is power. Sometimes we reach a point in our lives where things get too much and things go wrong. Whether it's that we've failed at our exams or whether we've lost a job or whether we've lost a relationship or someone dear to us dies. And naturally we go into a grief and a concern about those things. But the thing is that we are to rejoice in God and know that he is ever with us. He's ever present with us in those things. He knows all about them. And he hasn't just sent that to teach us, but they are part of life, they are part of circumstances, but he is ever present and he never changes. That's the most important thing I've learnt in my life, that God never changes. As he was in Genesis, he is in Revelation. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. And God cannot change. And you know, we in our woman to woman, we're going through the life of David, and it's absolutely obvious as we go through these scriptures and really pull them apart and see all the times that David fell short, David failed, but God's purpose for David never changed. God could have said, oh, David, you failed, you've mucked up, I'm going to get somebody else. No, God doesn't change his mind. God had set it that David would be king, that David would be the one that Jesus Christ would come from his lineage. And that never, ever changed. And so it doesn't mean we can go out and do what we like and think, well, God's just still going to use us. But it calls us more to stand in those purposes, to be aware, to read the Word, allow the Spirit of God to teach us so that we don't falter, that we don't fail, but that we ever press on. As I said, I was really impressed with the way our grandson handled. Not that it's the end of the world, but it was very inconvenient because he had a big weekend this weekend. And so he borrowed our car because he can't get new number plates till Monday. But it was like, oh, well, these things happen. And that's the attitude we have to have. But God will get me through. God will take me through this situation. We need to always think that not wring our hands and get all distressed, but, Lord, raise our hands and say, Lord, be with me in this trial and bring me to triumph. Isaiah 40, 28 to 30 says, have you not known, have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not? Is that amazing? Neither is weary. There is no searching of understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases their strength. Praise God. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Knowing that God is in control brings peace into our lives. And you see, sometimes as we get older, we think, oh, you know, the youth have got it all. Well, they might have the vitality and the strength, but they've got to learn the wisdom. And you see, that it's the wisdom, it's the character of God as we take on through Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit imparts into our heart that enables us to continue. You know, there are times when we see, I know it probably happens to you, it happens to me, where at the end of a busy day, the old legs don't feel too good. And so it's not my legs, but it's my determination. It's my will in God to say, Lord, you just take me through another step. And we overcome in him. It isn't our own strength that causes us to overcome. The Bible tells us that we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, to keep focused on him. And you know, when he was carrying that heavy cross and he was had been beaten and he was bleeding and you know, from a nursing background, just thinking of the amount of blood that he'd lost as he walked to Calvary with that cross, it was nearly impossible physically to be able to do that, to sustain that, because his blood was still pouring out. And yet he did it because he wanted to fulfill, he was committed to fulfill the work of the Father. He had the work of the Father, he had the heart of the Father before him, and it was, Lord, you, my God, you have called me to do this. And he knew in your strength, in the power of the Spirit, now these are my words, but this is what I believe, he would have been saying over and over. He wasn't looking at the crowds. He wasn't looking at other things. He was focused on what he was doing and knew that if God had said it, God would take him to it. And so if God brings it, he will bring you through it. But it's only in him. If we start to look at our own flesh, if we start to look at those, even those that we love around us, we're missing. It's only him that can reach that intricate part of our heart. 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 18 says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen, eternal. And that's what I want to look at, the eternal power and greatness of my God, the God who enables me to do exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think, according to his power that works within you. And that's not having things, that's achieving things. That's living things, that's being in him and being all he's called us to do. You know, Habakkuk had it all together when he said in 3:17-19, although the fig tree does not blossom, shall there be fruit on the vine. The labour of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no food, no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Praise the Lord. He's my strength. He's my strength. And so it's very easy to rejoice when everything is going good. But Habakkuk paints a very clear picture, as does the story of Horatio. And it's very different to the way people see things, and sometimes we see things, that it can be pretty dark when nothing is flourishing, nothing's growing, there's no food. And we see all across Australia now that things are very difficult. We see there's very little water. The farmers are struggling. They're not being able to get food and water for cows. We're going to be struggling for milk. There's no rain. We're hearing arguments about climate change, and nobody's really looking at the real problem. We're seeing rivers, which break my husband's heart, drying up, and we see fish dying by the thousands. And so we can very easily see what Habakkuk was saying. We're not to that point yet, but they'd got to a desperate point. But he was saying, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God wants us to turn our situation around and not looking and wondering how I'm going to do it, but know how God will do it through me. First, we must realise that these tests and trials come to every one of us, regardless of who we are or where we are. So many people today think, if I have so much money on the bank, I'll be secure. But you see, the banks are failing us. We see so many areas, but money will fail us. And even, you know, I remember when I was a little girl, on the radio one day, someone was saying about how things would become and that butter would become so much and milk. And my parents just laughed at that. And we see it now. And the Word of God says a piece of bread will buy a bag of gold. That it's the very real things of life that are important, not money. Money will lose its purpose. At some time or another, difficult times are going to come. But the wonderful news is that in John 16:33, Jesus says, but look at the rest of this verse. And he says, after Jesus said these things, he said, you are going to face tribulation in the world, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. And so again, Jesus is telling us that we will face issues. But you see, we need to be armed for those issues. We need to be prepared. We need to be dressed. If the weather's cold, we put on extra clothes. We don't go out with our summer outfit on. We go out prepared for the winter. If the sun comes out and it gets warm, we peel it off. So we dress according. We need to live accordingly. We need to prepare our hearts. We need to prepare our lives to be ready for whatever. Habakkuk revealed a great spiritual truth. When nothing seems to be growing right and things all seem to be going wrong, that's the time to start praising, not to stop. And yet often that's the time we stop. We start to look inward and we start to panic and we start to try and work things out for ourselves. Now, obviously, there are things happening in our life that we need to take account for, and there are things that we can do to put that right. But many things come at it like the water. We could easily get that fixed and so on. But the thing is, we need to be prepared spiritually for the other battles that come, and we need to be strong in ourselves so that when these little things come, that we're not going to fold, that we're not going to crumble. Habakkuk is saying, among other things, that despite the circumstances of life, we must rejoice. If God is your God, if the Lord Jesus Christ is your Saviour, then His Spirit is within you, and His Spirit is striving to bring praise from you, not misery, but praise and adoration. And there are many sad circumstances we can go through, things that are beyond our understanding and control. And of course we grieve and we will cry, but we need to journey through those things with the Lord, because He knows how to take us through and how to bring joy in us in the most difficult situation. I want you to think for a moment how unstable your life would be if your attitude and demeanour changed every time a circumstance changed. Because during the day, so many things can change. And if we live to the circumstance, we'll end up at the end of the day, we won't know who we are. Our emotions will be all over the place. And so we need to focus on the things of God. We need to look, because as I said, our world is crazy at the moment. And so we need to be fixed on Christ. God always causes us to triumph. It says in 2 Corinthians 2:14, but thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of Him everywhere. And so when we stand in the Lord, when we show forth His glory, when we stand in His power and strength, we send off an aroma. And that's the aroma that the world needs to see. That's the aroma that the world needs to feel. I met a lady in the supermarket on Friday that I haven't seen probably for 10 years. And I wasn't aware of her. I was just getting around looking for what I wanted. She came running up to me. Oh, she said, it's lovely to see you, lovely to see you. And I said, oh, it's great to see you too. She said, I knew you straight away. You haven't changed. I said, oh, I have. And she said, no, you haven't. You still have that smile, that joy of the Lord. She is a Christian. And that's what people are to see. And I thought, thank you, Lord. It's not a matter of pride. It's thank you. That's my heart, that others will see that joy. My prayer every day, Lord, is that I am found in you, that I reveal you, and that the pain and the struggle is not revealed on my face. But rather, Lord, I would radiate your overcoming power and your glory. And I thank the Lord. And it's not something we can see, but it's something others can see. And you see, your words can be fragrant and they bring hope to people. So we need to be mindful of what we say. But the only way we can do that is if it's really hidden in our heart, if it's real to us, if we live it, then it will come out. Whatever you center your heart and your life on is what you will bring out to others. And so we need to remember that God's word never changes, as I said. And so you might be going in for an exam or going for a promotion or getting ready to ask a girl to marry you or going to buy a house or whatever. God's word is the same for you then as if you don't get those things. If you don't get the promotion, you don't pass the exam, you failed at buying the house, whatever. God's word doesn't change. He doesn't say, oh, I made a mistake, Pat, I meant to tell you something else. No, whatever God tells me, that's His word. It doesn't change. As I said, with David, we see that David still fulfilled all that God called him, not because of David, but because of God. God will take care of you, whether your work gives you a raise or whatever, whether a door closes in your face, whatever happens. Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. And Hebrews 13:8, which we all know, is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever. He doesn't change. Isn't that awesome? To know that, to know that. And you see, God is about us by His Spirit changing the atmosphere. Not the atmosphere out there, but changing the atmosphere around me so that what I am living in is that beautiful presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't fail and I don't make mistakes, but the more we walk in the Lord, the quicker He reveals it. Oh, Lord, forgive me. I reacted wrong. I said that wrong. God is about changing me, and as He changes me moment by moment, moment by moment, and then I'm able to have a different attitude which changes my atmosphere. And if we each do that as we come together, as we worship God here, and this morning the worship was wonderful, particularly that second song that we sang, it's about bringing the atmosphere of the Spirit of God amongst us. It's about God opening up his heart to us and us releasing praise and worship and adoration to him. Yes, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation because he is my strength. God is our stabilizer, and his Spirit comes to lead us in all the fullness and the truth of life, and he never fails. When you encounter troubles and tests and trials, remember this, you're just passing through. It's a journey. It's a hiccup. It's a bit of a hill. And sometimes the hill can be very steep and we think we can't make it. But the Lord says, I will lead you, I will guide you. If you look at me and not the failing and not the pain, I will take you there. Just keep on walking, rejoicing in God and knowing, as it says in Psalm 23:4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And you see, that's the thing, as we walk through these valleys, not to fear. Because this valley is not new to God. This valley is something that God has expected that you will walk through. But remember, he walks with you. He walks with you. He guides you and keeps you all the way. You can still have a life that is full. Are the consequences erased? No, not always. Is the pain still there? Yes, very much. But God gives us a new and a better reason for living. Absolutely. And so it's on focusing on him. And so what happens is that when we cry out to God, and God is a healing God, I look for healing every day, and I believe I'm receiving a healing every day. And the healing isn't always that everything's gone, but the healing is he enables me to do in spite of it. The healing is that I still get up and I still walk. The healing is that when I stand in him, I don't feel the pain. The pain diminishes. When I get back into thinking about situations and start thinking about it, yes, the pain will have the authority. But I want my Lord to have the authority in all things. Not because I'm anything special to anybody else, but I'm special to him. And he has called me with a purpose. And you see, the only way we fulfill that purpose is to look at him and not the issues. To look at his glory and not the brokenness. To look at his possibility and not the negative. And yet so often we centre on those things and we miss the glory of God. God has already said your life would be this. We need to have that trust and hope that we will live that to the full. Now, when God calls us home, that's his time. No one else has done it. If we trust in God and know that we have a purpose in him, then we trust in that. And so that means that while we are here, we can fulfill everything God's called us to do. We can go deeper. We can go greater. We can do whatever it is that God has called us to do because Christ strengthens us. We still have a life that is full. And so we live in a broken world, and we know that simply. But guess what? We're not broken. We are whole. And there are many of us, not only here in Grow Church, but all over the world, there are unbroken people because they've been restored and made whole by a beautiful Saviour who gave everything that we might live, and we are empowered by his Spirit to do things that are not possible in our own strength. They're not possible in our own mind, but they are possible with him. The good news for us is that Jesus Christ stepped into the midst of our brokenness and made us whole and filled us with his love. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit." If you're crushed in spirit this morning, allow the Lord. Don't say, "Lord, come." He's here. He's with you. He's waiting to say, Lord, thank you that you are present with me. You are present in my circumstance, whatever it is. And you see, we can all come alongside one another and bear and share. But there are things that we can't know. There are things, I know my husband said to me the other day, I feel for you, and I know he felt for me. But nobody can feel unless they're in this body. Now, I'm nothing. There's people a lot worse off than me. Much worse off. I'm only giving an illustration. We can't see. I remember hearing my uncle used to say a little rhyme that went, I grumbled because I didn't have shoes and then I saw a man without any feet. And so we need to be thankful. But you see, people, even without feet, get around. And often they're happy people because they've found some way to be able to move, to be able to function. But most importantly, it isn't our body that carries the presence. It's our spirit and our voice. It's what we speak out that comes out of a heart that's yielded to Christ, a heart that is empowered by His Holy Spirit. That is the ministry. That is the ministry. And nothing but nothing can stop that. Nothing, only you. If you lose heart and you become somber and overcome by all of the things that can happen in life, rather than thank God that He's with you in it, and that while you may grieve, while you may go through a difficult time, you will walk through it with God and you'll come out and look back and think, Lord, how did I get through that? Only through you. You took me there, but you've brought me out with my eyes open wider. I see now, I understand more than I ever understood before. And just to close, I have sent it to many of you, and I won't bring it all, but part of our day on Thursday, we watched a video called The God That Sees, and it's based on the story of Hagar, and we know the story of Hagar, which fits in with this message that, you know, we know Sarah called her to come to lie with Abraham because she got involved and thought that she would bring the son rather than waiting for the promise. And you see, we can do that. We get involved and we mess things up. And so after a while, jealousy occurred and Sarah didn't want her anymore because she had a son. And so she was cast out. Abraham was very sad about it, but he wasn't man enough to stand up. And so they cast her out with her son. And we often think of it being a little baby, but the son was already a grown boy. And it got to the point there was no food and little water, and he became weak, and so Hagar was carrying him on her back. And sometimes, you see, that depicts a story that we carry so much on our back and we get so laden and so burdened that all we can see is down there. And God brought Hagar to the point where it became desperate and she had to put her son down. And it wasn't until she put him down, which is we let go of the load and the problem, that she went and sat and God spoke to her and showed her and she heard the water and she was able to drink and then found she wasn't far away from her people. But in this video it says that Hagar was in that situation and she called the place, God Sees Me. And it says, but God says, I will be a ring of fire around you, and I will be the glory in your midst, and the power of my presence will bring you to your knees, and I will lift you up again, and you'll never be the same, for I'm the God who sees. Do you believe that God sees you today? That He knows you? For the God who never changes, and my promises are true, and when this world deserts you, this is what I'll do. I'll make all things new for you and love you back again and again. I will be the rock of your salvation. I will hold you up by the strength of my right hand, and the power of my spirit will free you from all fear. Only the Holy Spirit can free us from fear and anxiety. In the hour of your deepest need, you'll find that I am here. I am here. He says He will never leave us nor forsake us, but He's our nearest breath. Glory, glory, hallelujah. I will be the glory in your midst, and every knee will bow and every tongue confess. Yes, all the world will worship me in all of my holiness. And again, I will be the ring of fire around you. I'll be the glory in your midst, and the power of my presence will bring you to your knees. And I will lift you up again, for I'm the God who sees. I'm the God who sees. Father God, we just praise you for your grace and your love. And Father, I just pray by your Holy Spirit now that you, Lord God, would draw alongside to each person, Father, and that in their hearts they would see that you see them right where they are. You see them in their wilderness. You see them in their brokenness. You see those that are feeling lonely. You see those who feel they're in the desert place, in the empty spaces. You're the God who sees. You are nearer than they would dare believe. You are here in the very air we breathe, for you are the God who sees. And so, Father, I pray that you would take this word that you have laid on my heart today. It's your word, Lord God, as we think back to Horatio, to Habakkuk, Lord God, to all of these things that we have shared, and see that your word is truth. It never changes. It never diminishes, because you are the God who sees. And you don't see, Lord God, the fine clothes that we wear. Well, you see them. They're not important to you, or our bank account, or how well we're doing. You see the very heart of each one of us. And you want that heart to beat. Jesus, Jesus, my Redeemer lives. I am more than an overcomer through him who gave his life for me. That I will raise up with the wings of eagles. I will walk and not faint, and run and not be weary. I will fulfill every purpose that you have laid before me, Lord God. For it is your will. And how grateful, Lord, we need to be that you would choose to use one such as me. That you would use us, Lord God, and allow us to portray you and your glory, to shed your fragrance to a world that is broken. But above all, Lord, I just ask now that your Spirit might minister truth into the hearts of each one. Lord, I know each one of my brothers and sisters here, but I don't know all they're going through. I don't know the things that they're secretly struggling with, whether it be finances, whether it be health, whatever it is, Lord, whether it's brokenness of death or brokenness of family separations, there are so many things that can come in, but you know them, Lord. And I ask now, Father, in this moment, that each one, Lord God, would open their heart and be real to you, because you already see the problem, Lord, but I pray that they would trust you with it. That you, Lord, would be their inner strength spiritually. You would be their emotional strength. You'd be their mental strength. Whatever it is, Lord God, that is needed, Father, that you would come in, for you are the filler. You are the one who comes in and brings what is lacking, what is missing by your Spirit. You make that which is broken whole. So I just pray now in this moment that as we are honest with you, Lord God, that we would allow you to come in and make that which is broken whole, that we would see you in your glory and allow you, Lord, to build that fire around us, that fire of protection, where we would there come to our knees and cry out to you and know you are the God who sees, you are the God who hears, you are the God who heals, you are the God who sustains, and you are the God who reigns forevermore. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.